Section 3. The Blind Leading the Blind. The difficulty with interpreting the Pepsi Challenge findings begins with the fact that it was based on what the industry calls a sip test, or a CLT, central location test. Tasters don't drink the entire can. They take a sip from a cup of each of the brands being tested and then make their choice. Now suppose I were to ask you to test a soft drink a little differently. What if you were to take a case of the drink home and tell me what you think after a few weeks? Would that change your opinion? It turns out it would. Carol Dollard, who worked for Pepsi for many years in new product development, says, "I've seen many times when the CLT will give you one result and the home use test will give you the exact opposite. For example, in a CLT, consumers might taste three or four different products in a row, taking a sip or a couple of sips of each. A sip is very different from sitting and drinking a whole beverage on your own. Sometimes a sip tastes good and a whole bottle doesn't. That's why home use tests give you the best information. The user isn't in an artificial setting. They're at home, sitting in front of the TV, and the way they feel in that situation is the most reflective of how they will behave when the product hits the market." Dollard says, for instance, that one of the biases in a sip test is towards sweetness. If you only test in a sip test, consumers will like the sweeter product. But when they have to drink a whole bottle or can, that sweetness can get really overpowering or cloying. Pepsi is sweeter than Coke, so right away it had a big advantage in a sip test. Pepsi is also characterized by a citrusy flavor burst, unlike the more raisiny vanilla taste of Coke. But that burst tends to dissipate over the course of an entire can, and that is another reason Coke suffered by comparison. Pepsi, in short, is a drink built to shine in a sip test. Does this mean that the Pepsi Challenge was a fraud? Not at all. It just means that we have two different reactions to colas. We have one reaction after taking a sip, and we have another reaction after drinking a whole can. In order to make sense of people's cola judgments, we need to first decide which of those two reactions most interests us. Then there's the issue of what is called sensation transference. This is a concept coined by one of the great figures in 20th century marketing, a man named Louis Cheskin, who was born in Ukraine at the turn of the century and immigrated to the United States as a child. Cheskin was convinced that when people give an assessment of something they might buy in a supermarket or a department store, without realizing it, they transfer sensations or impressions that they have about the packaging of the product to the product itself. To put it another way, Cheskin believed that most of us don't make a distinction, on an unconscious level, between the package and the product. The product is the package and the product combined. One of the projects Cheskin worked on was margarine. In the late 1940s, margarine was not very popular. Consumers had no interest in either eating it or buying it. But Cheskin was curious. Why didn't people like margarine? Was there a problem with margarine intrinsic to the food itself? Or was it a problem with the associations people had with margarine? He decided to find out. In that era, margarine was white. Cheskin colored it yellow so that it would look like butter. Then he staged a series of luncheons with homemakers. Because he wanted to catch people unawares, he didn't call the luncheons margarine testing luncheons. He merely invited a group of women to an event. "My bet is that all the women wore little white gloves," says Davis Mastin, who today is one of the principals in the consulting firm Cheskin founded. Cheskin brought in speakers and served food, and there were little pats of butter for some and little pats of margarine for others. The margarine was yellow. In the context of it, they didn't let people know there was a difference. Afterwards, everyone was asked to rate the speakers and the food, and it ended up that people thought the butter was just fine. It was an indirect method to see whether this was simply a perceptual issue or whether there was fundamentally a problem with margarine itself. Market research had said there was no future for margarine, Lewis said, "Let's put this more indirectly, and whoa, people liked it just fine."